This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. It's a playoff edition, Samo. He's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome you in. Wild card round gets going. If you're downloading on a Thursday, of course, on Saturday, two games, three on Sunday. And then we got the Monday night capper with Houston and Pittsburgh. Not to mention tonight when you download, you got a college football playoff game with Miami Ole Miss. And then tomorrow, of course, a rematch with Oregon and Indiana. Somich, a lot going on. How are we feeling?
It's a phenomenal football 5 days we got going on here, right? I mean, this is a lot of fun. We get the two playoff games here on Thursday and Friday. You mentioned it, three straight days of NFL playoffs. A lot of news to go over in that market as well. Got to talk Super Bowl as our picks. We've got to get to that as we've got the start of the playoffs kicking off here. So it's an exciting weekend here if you like some football.
Yeah, you mentioned it. A lot to do. Coaches, you're always going to have with the cycle. It's funny. It almost mirrors one another. Each year, you're going to have 6-7 new participants in the postseason in the NFL, which is why the sport, along with betting, is so important. And then you're also going to have, 6-7 openings every year as far as the head coaches, which we'll get to coming up here, Sharp Money. Let's jump on the games. We'll get to the college and get to the coaches and get the hell out of here. Rams, Carolina. This one has stayed. It's almost like we thought we might see down to 9.5, but it hasn't been hit. So it shows me that the sharp and public probably pretty much in alignment here with the Rams.
Yeah, pretty surprised this one hasn't moved, Patrick. Because if you just look at it like how do we get to the 10.5, right? If you look from a power ratings perspective, I have never had a team at 7.5 points plus or higher all season long. You got to have the Rams at like 7.5, 8 here to possibly get to this number, because Carolina is not a -4, which is what it would take. So I still not sure why we're sitting at 10.5 here. I'm probably going to play Carolina, and I'm not going to enjoy it. It's one of those click it and hold your nose type bets, because it's just a situation where the 10.5, I just cannot possibly get to that number. I get it. The Rams, they get pieces back. They get Lake back. You're going to get Davante Adams back. So improvements on the offensive and defensive side. But this is a Carolina team that has at least been able to keep games close. I don't think you're going to find an overly motivated team in the Rams to win by 20 points to try and blow them out here. And I do think you're going to see some success with Carolina on the ground. If you look back to that Rams-Panthers game that we saw in Carolina earlier this season, yes, Carolina was bolstered by 3 turnovers. That definitely mattered. They also ran the ball very well. They possessed the ball a significant amount of time in the second half. It feels like Carolina is going to try and just run the ball, slow this down, limit the possessions, and all of that plays toward a team covering a 10.5 point spread at home.
Yeah, they got time of possession. You mentioned in the win earlier in Carolina, 31-28, but it was the 3 turnovers, all 3 on Stafford, 2 interceptions, a lost fumble. It was his worst game of the year as he battles with May for the MVP. If you're a Rams fan, this is the opponent, not just because it's the worst opponent of the 14. If you're a Rams fan, you love this revenge spot. I mean, there's nothing better when you add just, the players on the field. If you can throw in some sort of angle that has to do with revenge, McVay's like, feed this to me.
Yeah, give me the extra motivation, right? You're going across the country again, trying to avenge the loss. Interesting, the spread actually ticked up from what we saw earlier in the year as the Rams closed at 8.5. And again, that made more sense to me. 8.5 is kind of where I think this number should probably be. But we just have not seen that Panthers money come in that I was expecting to see come in. I thought this was a situation, we talked about it on Sunday night, where you see this get bet down. Right. And you'd see it go back up as we get closer to the game. We never saw it come back down. I'm interested to see what happens as we get closer to close. But I'm going to hold my nose. I'm going to take the 10.5 with the Panthers in this spot and just hope that they can control this game and keep it close, especially early. If they can keep this close early, I think they definitely cover the 10.
Yeah, I feel you on that. There's a lot of old school bettors once you get to the postseason that say, pick your winner. Don't worry about the spread. But 10.5.
Yeah.
It's just like you're looking at a number where the back door is obviously very open.
And that's the one concern with it. I don't think the Panthers can win this football game. And so it's hard to click a dog.
Oh, I don't think so either.
Where you're like, I think the chance for them winning is pretty low, but I want to take the points. However, we don't often see this big of a spread in the playoffs. As you mentioned, 10.5, a monster number, even in the first round of the NFL playoffs.
10.5 in the regular season, you take a doubles. It's doubles. You know,
yeah.
You really don't. You don't get many. It is. It sets up perfectly for the Rams, obviously, as the way the season turned out. The next one on the board, that's Saturday, so it's going to be 5 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock. By the way, just realize if you're watching video, I'm powder. I have mineral sunscreen all over, so I look like powder right now, which is a great look. I got to start stepping up my game here. For
mineral sunscreen.
I have to. I got eczema over my grill. A little inside info for everybody in case you care. 3:37. Green Bay and Chicago. So that's 8 o'clock East on Saturday. Get a cocktail. Just enjoy the hell out of this game. Because it's not Green Bay and Chicago like you would be conditioned to think about it. These are freaking fun teams to watch. And obviously Green Bay not playing great coming in. Same with Chicago. This number, Mike, was essentially a pick 'em. One book was showing one way, one book was showing one the other way. But we've settled in consistently with Green Bay laying the 1.5.
Yeah, again, kind of surprised here that Green Bay is the team that's laying the 1.5. I expected that Chicago would be the slight favorite when we got to this. Now, moving from 1.5 on one side to 1.5 on the other, not a massive move when you're talking about moving 3 points just because you're moving through zero, which is obviously the most irrelevant number, especially during the playoffs, as you cannot tie in the playoffs. Weather going to be a factor here in this one, Patrick. We're expecting snow during the game. We're talking
wind.
About 15 to 20 mile per hour winds sustained with gusts up to 30 or 35 miles per hour. Really going to mean that the ground game going to be very important for these two teams. And when I look at these two ground games, I lean Chicago. I think they've got the better run schemer from a Ben Johnson perspective. You've got that dual-headed monster and Swift and Manungai who both can run the ball successfully. And then I look at what this Packers run defense has been once you've taken out Parsons. And as important as he is to the pass rush, also a very good run defender, I'm not sure Green Bay going to be able to handle the Chicago Bears run game as efficiently. And what do you need from the quarterback position? You're going to need big plays from Green Bay. That's what we saw when Jordan Love was able to beat the zero coverage that we saw from Chicago on multiple big plays the first time these two teams played. That's going to be more difficult to do inside of these type of conditions. I think the conditions favor the Bears. I think the run game favors the Bears. I love them as a teaser leg. We'll talk shortly about the team I want to tease them with to get them up to 7.5. I lean toward the Bears, haven't clicked the button yet.
Yeah, Bears-Packers played twice in a span of 3 weeks not too long ago and split it. So at Green Bay, a winner for Green Bay, 28-21. In Chicago, we remember that was on the 20th, right before Christmas, a 22-16 winner for Chicago. I think you pointed it out. It kind of flip-flopped with who led in rushing. Obviously, the winner of that rushing battle won the game. Ben Johnson, go back to Detroit. It's so funny because he's thought of as the best play caller in football. I don't know if anybody cares more about the run than him, which is a very old school approach with a new school style, the way he does it. I am going to officially play Chicago because exactly what you said. Forget the home field. I don't really care about that with these two. It comes down to I trust Johnson when it matters to run the ball better.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all. You also have a banged up Josh Jacobs coming in here from Green Bay, expected to play, but I mean I can't believe that he's 100%. Tom is going to start in the offensive line again. I don't fully believe that he is 100% here either. Do like the DeAndre Swift rushing prop. You can get him at 61.5 yards. I'll take the over on that spot. I think that he is going to get the majority of the carries. We've seen Ben Johnson lean on him more. He's also the more explosive running back. You're able to get those 10, 15, 20 yard rushes out of him. That helps him get to that total quicker. And I do think this is a situation where you're looking at 14, 16, 18 carries for Swift in this game, especially if the Bears are able to control it. So I do like Chicago here. My one concern, I still like Jordan Love more than Caleb Williams. And
I do,
like,
too. Yeah, you're not wrong.
But when you're looking at these playoff games, you got to look at that quarterback position in a big way. And that question comes out like, okay, who do you like? And especially in a game, it's one thing when it's Stafford versus Bryce Young and it's 10.5. It's another thing when you're sitting at 1.5. Now, you have to basically win this game if you want to be able to cover. But I still trust this Bears run game. I still trust Ben Johnson a little bit more. And I'm worried about the Packers injury situation because it's not just Parsons on the defensive side. A lot of guys banged up over there. Offensively, multiple guys coming back from injury. Just too many things that concern me here for Green Bay on that front. Plus, you get home field advantage for Chicago. So I like your Chicago play. I like Swift over the 61.5.
Mike, you compared the quarterbacks. I'll compare the head coaches. I think we would all agree these are two dudes that are oddly competitive. I think Johnson in game is more contained. LaFleur's got some cracks in game. And in a bit, I really believe that. In a big spot, I do trust even year one. I do trust Johnson more than I trust LaFleur. I think LaFleur is a tremendous football mind. I think he gets a little to the red in the games and it takes over.
Well, I mean, there's the famous one with Aaron Rodgers yelling at him as he comes off the field on fourth down and they kick a field goal, end up losing that game in the playoffs, right? Like, it's what are you going to do in those situations? Ben Johnson's going to go for it. We know LaFleur is going to take the points. He's going to be a more conservative coach despite being an offensive first, offensive forward coach. And that can cost you, especially in games like this, where I would think that points are going to be at a premium. I think that the possessions are going to be at a premium, and I think you're going to have to maximize those situations. And to me, that all favors Ben Johnson as well. It's tough, though. The reason why this is an official play for me, even that win for the Bears, the Packers kind of controlled that game. And that was Malik Willis coming in the middle of it. They were up 16-6. You saw the Bears get an onside kick, have to score on a fourth down to be able to tie that football game, then get the touchdown in overtime. The Packers have essentially beaten the Bears twice in my mind. I still think the Bears get their revenge here, though.
You know, you mentioned whether or not to go for it on fourth. Remember, and we're going to talk about the head coaching openings here on Sharp Money coming up in just a bit. Remember when Johnson waited for the job he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And in taking Chicago, it is very much the opposite of like Philadelphia. Sirianni's not making decisions on fourth down. It's coming from above. I think Johnson has autonomy. And I don't know the mix in Green Bay as well, but it's Johnson's team. And I like that going into this because I trust him. I just watched him so much with Detroit calling plays. I really like the play caller and I like the coach. Okay, we'll get to our official plays, but I do like Chicago there. The first one on Sunday, you know, I was talking to your VSiN at the Track partner, Aaron Halterman, and we came up with this. If you bet Buffalo or Jacksonville, you bet Jacksonville, you can be like, I can't believe I bet Jacksonville. And then you bet on Buffalo. And again, if Buffalo wins, it's like, I should have backed Allen. And then if you bet on Buffalo, you're going to be like, I knew this Buffalo team stunk. So it's like it's a tough one. We are starting to see some Jacksonville love at a couple of shops. Circa is a pick 'em, and pretty much the public books are both Buffalo 1.5. Just important for context.
Definitely feels like a catch 22. You're either
totally.
Gonna be, like you're going to be upset with yourself if you lose this game. Either way, like if you have the loser in this game, you're like, what was I thinking? How could I possibly back Trevor Lawrence against Josh Allen? Or how could I possibly think this Buffalo defense is going to stop Jacksonville? I lean more toward the latter there. I realize Josh Allen can put the cape on. I think he's an awesome quarterback. This is not a good defense that he's got. You've got a run game that is very important to Buffalo. It's a Jacksonville team that has actually stopped the run consistently in the latter half of the season. This defense, which was turnover dependent early, has not been turnover dependent late and still ranks up in the top 10 of defenses. I also look at this Jacksonville team. I look at what they've done since the trade deadline. You add Jacoby Myers. He immediately makes an impact. Parker Washington comes back from injury. He immediately makes an impact. Now you have three good wide receivers. Brenton Strange returns from injury. All of a sudden, the tight end is working. You've got a passing game here. Cohen's very good at setting up the run. You've got a two-headed rushing monster that you can run in the backfield if you need to. Trevor Lawrence hasn't been making those bonehead plays. He hasn't been making
the dumb throws, the dumb mistakes, right? Yeah.
And that was my knock on him consistently is that, look, he goes through his reads and then makes a bad decision. Well, all of a sudden with these receivers that he trusts that are catching the football, you're not seeing that same level of bad decision. I think Jacksonville has success on the offensive side. I'm not sure Buffalo, without really any real weapons in the passing game outside of Josh Allen, are able to keep up with them in this spot. This is the other side of the teaser I like. Give me the Bears +7.5, Jags +7.5 as a little Saturday, Sunday teaser appetizer. I like the Jags as well. Another one that I have not bet yet, but I'm going to end up on Jags money line.
Yeah, I do like the Jags. You mentioned Jacoby Myers. You know who else loved the Jacoby Myers pickup? Sean McDermott. That's weird because Sean McDermott is coaching the Bills. Sean McDermott opened up a press conference yesterday by saying how much he loved the Jacoby Myers pickup. Do you not think that was McDermott taking a shot at his own organization and Bean, who runs it, by saying, I got a once in a lifetime dude and you're just giving me slop while Jacksonville is making a move for a guy that's made a difference in Myers? You mentioned the takeaways on defense. It's funny. We just came off of Chicago. A lot of this can go back, right? It can pull back as far as turnover luck. Chicago and Jacksonville have been on the right side of it. I just think Jacksonville's a better football team. It really comes down to that. And by the way, when he puts on the cape and he runs for two and he throws for three, and I'm talking about Allen, I'll come on sharp money on Sunday night and tell you, of course, but I like Jacksonville.
Look, I mean, 2 through 53, Jacksonville's significantly better. 1, Buffalo is significantly better, right? Yes. But I revert back to last year's Super Bowl, where you're looking at a team in Kansas City that has the better quarterback, but nothing else is really better, right? That's a very similar situation here. Now, yes, Buffalo's running back is better than what Jacksonville has in their backfield, but at the same time, you don't really have to force the same resources to the passing game for Jacksonville's defense that you do if you're Buffalo's defense. So I think you're going to see both these teams have equal success on the ground. I think Jacksonville's passing game makes the difference. Now you got to give credit to Liam Cohen. He is one of those guys you absolutely have to give credit to. And I will say this. We're going to talk about the whole coaching thing later. Flag Buffalo. There have been multiple organizations that have called with head coaches to Harbaugh. I think there's a couple coaches that if they lose this weekend, may be in trouble.
And we'll talk about Harbaugh's interviewing teams that are not interviewing him. Mm-hmm. And he is going to wait until next week to see McDermott loses this game. I can guarantee you he's out.
I won't guarantee 100%. It, but I will heavily lean.
I'll put my 10 toes on it. McDermott's out. It's so tired.
He should be. He should be.
Of course he should be. You're going to be going into year 30 as far as age for Allen. You want to dick around? No. And continue? No. 381, San Francisco, grow up. That's what I like. These are $1 billion, like seriously, $1 billion organizations, like be an adult. So 381, Mike, is San Francisco and Philadelphia. And I'll just give you the number. The Pinnacle is showing 5 and most are showing 4.5. DraftKings is showing Philly 5.5. I got a caller that's obsessed with San Francisco, and he's a very sharp guy on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio. And he called in, and he's always waving the San Francisco pom-poms. He said it's not a bad matchup for San Francisco. It's a horrific one. And he pointed to the defense of Philly, and you've seen how much, I don't know what you want to call what Shanahan's doing about Fangio, but he likes him. And he's talking about how great he is. We know what San Francisco is. They're banged up on defense, and here they come, but they score. We know that.
Well, do they? Because I believe
maybe not against Philly.
Same caller called us last Friday, and we told them Seattle was going to hold them down. And that's, to me, the biggest problem here, if you were talking about this San Francisco team, is that not only are you getting Trent Williams back, he's banged up, right? Pearsall, yeah. We're questionable. We'll see if he's going to be able to play with that re-aggravation of his knee injury. You just saw the blueprint for how to stop this team. Vic Fangio got to watch 60 minutes of Seattle shutting down San Francisco. You don't think he's going to watch that tape multiple times this week and be able to design a defense that can do the exact same thing? Because honestly, the pieces are similar in Philadelphia as you have to that Seattle defense. I like the scheme a little bit more in Seattle, but at the same time, Vic Fangio is no slouch when it comes to scheming a defensive game plan. And to your point on Shanahan, he's faced Vic Fangio 4 times. He has scored double digits 2 of those 4 times and never scored more than 16 points against him. I think this is a terrible matchup. Terrible matchup for the San Francisco 49ers. And like, I get it. The Eagles' offense hasn't been crisp. What if they flip the switch, Patrick? This is one of those teams where I trust this defense as much as any defense in the NFC. And if this offense can find its way, this is in my mind the best team in the NFC. We'll see if they can find their way, but they get the opportunity to really have a situational game where they can figure it out against this bad San Francisco defense. I think they can run it. I think they can throw it. I think Philly covers by margin.
Yeah, specifically up front with Philly, they're just like, they're kind of nasty. They got some badass dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I would say about Philly that is so perplexing. And we can use Buffalo, who we just talked about, as an example. I am so confounded by how they dominated Buffalo in Buffalo that first half and came out, didn't gain a yard in the second half. They've been so up and down. That's why I think Harbaugh may end up there. Outside of the ties, obviously, he was at Buffalo. He was in Philly before he took the Baltimore job. They need an adult, and they don't have one right now. It sounds like, are you laying it with Philly then?
I'm laying it with Philly. I'm laying the 4.5. I think this actually closes closer to 6 when it's all said and done. I think you're going to consistently see Philly money up till close, because the more people dive into this, the more they're going to realize Philadelphia kind of owns every single situational matchup in this game. And it's going to be Brock Purdy who has to run for his life and figure out how to make plays down the field. And I just don't see him being able to consistently do that. You've got DeJean who can cover Kittle. Like, matchup wise, I don't see where the advantage is for San Francisco in this spot. And I just don't think they can go score for score with the Eagles. And I think the Eagles offense has the opportunity to drop a 30, 35 number on this 49ers defense. And if that's the case, I don't see how San Francisco scores with them.
Yeah. What's team total on Philly? I should have taken a look if they're posting it. I agree. By the way, there is irony. Wasn't it Philadelphia in the playoffs that Purdy got injured very early on? And
yes,
a couple of years back, and we had to see the backup. So, yeah, it's a nasty defense. I know you're looking for that team total, but that's where I'd be leaning, because San Francisco, first off, they don't have linebackers. They literally don't. And I know Petullo and Sirianni aren't exactly Mensa members, but they should be able to figure out how to attack the middle of the field.
You would think so. It's going to be interesting to see how they use Cooper DeJean, because he's kind of their de facto linebacker when you're attacking. Like, do you put him on McCaffrey? Do you put him on Kittle? How do you want to use that plan there? So team total Eagles, 24.5, -120, 25.5, -110.
The only concern would be fourth quarter. They're just killing the clock.
Yeah, I mean, but killing the clock is probably running Barkley, which could end up putting more points on the board.
That's
too.
That's probably where I'd go. I'm just so down on the San Francisco defense. Right,
you could get first half, and you're looking at 13.5.
The Chargers New England game, the 5.5 that we just talked about. I don't know why New England's not laying 5.5. They're laying 3.5, and I don't even expect the chart. I expect the. I don't know how banged up Herbert is, but I know he's hurt. And he's going to get more hurt. And it's not like you have the most ferocious front here with New England, but that offensive line right now is a civilian for the Chargers. I like New England in this matchup, and I am going to lay the 3.5.
To me, this is like, there's three possible outcomes. New England blows them out, New England win close, or the Chargers win close. I don't see the Chargers being able to blow New England out. I think the key here is the Chargers defense. This is a Chargers defense that's been a top 10 unit the majority of the season. They play heavily on zone. They keep everything in front of them. They force you to methodically move down the field and try and limit big plays. If they can do that, if they can limit big plays against a team that thrives off of big plays, I think the Chargers can stay in this football game, and I like their 3.5. If you see big plays for New England at any point, good luck, because I just don't see those big plays coming back the other way for the Chargers. I don't know who makes them. They have, like, you need Quentin Johnston essentially to be able to go down and make a 30-yard, 40-yard catch down the field. I just don't love it. It feels like you need a lot of, like, Herbert actively being able to find holes in the zone. I lean toward the Chargers here. I can't get there. I'm not going to get there. This is going to be a game I pass on that front. I will take Herbert over passing yards, though. You can get him at 229.5. That feels really low for a team that's not going to be able to
especially
run the football.
Especially he's going to be needing to throw it.
And they're going to be trailing, right? Like, so to me, game state screams that you take Herbert over passing yards here. So my only play in this one, Herbert over 229.5. I think it's going to be a fun game. And it, like I said, if I'm on the Patriots, I'm putting at least a little bit of money on, like, -9.5. I'm playing some of the alts where the Patriots just blow the doors off them, because I do think that is more in play for the Patriots than a lot of other teams this weekend.
Yeah, I'm pretty I agree. I'm pretty comfortable with a Patriots route here. Also, Omari and Hampton, still iffy. and they're going to need to be able to run the football. So I think it lines up well there for New England. The next one, I'm going to fade the steam. Surprise. I'm looking right now, Monday night, Houston at Pittsburgh. The hooks are all gone. It is three. I feel exceedingly comfortable laying three with Houston. I'm not going to waffle. They're hosting Pittsburgh because a kid missed a 44-yarder. It's a fraudulent team. I will lay the three.
Why are people betting the Steelers, Patrick?
Go for it. Enjoy yourself.
I don't understand.
Maybe you're right.
This. And you go on and like you watch Beeson. A lot of people like the Steelers.
Good.
You like it's not like just like a bunch of people I have no respect for that are picking the Steelers. They're like, but I don't get like the case they make is like, well, DK is back. Their offense is going to be good. That's great. Here's a guy named Stingley. He's the best cornerback in the NFL. Maybe 1B to Surtain, but they're very, very close.
They're interchangeable.
Oh, by the way, your Pittsburgh offensive line stinks. Oh, by the way, your quarterback is a statue. You are facing a ferocious front four rush that does not have to blitz to get home. And you're expecting Rodgers to be able to dink and dunk his way down the field? I don't see it, man. I don't see it. And I get all the other concerns. I get it on the offensive side for the Texans. Their offensive line, not great. You've got Hightower. You've got Watt. You're going to be able to rush the passer. That's great. This isn't going to be a high-scoring game, but I'm not sure Pittsburgh gets to 10. And that, to me, is a big-time problem when it's only a three-point line.
Rodgers had three throws that he should make because he's Aaron Rodgers against Baltimore. I know it's breaking news. This is not Baltimore's defense.
I mean, it's not even close. Baltimore's like 24th, 26th in the NFL.
And literally zero.
Also, pre-Hamilton getting hurt, they got shut the bleep down.
I love Houston. I don't know what to tell you. I can't go for it.
Yeah.
At Pittsburgh. I know there's a lot of sharp people on Pittsburgh. Enjoy it.
Yeah, have fun. Give me Houston here, -3. Give me the team total for the Steelers under 18.5, too. I will lean heavily into this defense, just stops the Steelers. You're going to need voodoo defensive scores for Pittsburgh if you like them.
Before we get off the NFL, we'll get to your Hurricanes. Let's give our quick Super Bowl matchups. I'll just go quickly. NFC, I think the Rams are the best team. AFC, I think you can have fun just choosing a team. I think it's a complete crapshoot. I wouldn't judge you if you took any of them. I'm going to go Pats, Rams, and Michael tells me that price is
14 to 1.
I'll go Pats, Rams.
Yeah, I agree with you on the AFC side. So I'm going to go for the longest price, which is either the Jags or the Texans. They're both over 5 to 1. I like the Jags a little bit more than the Texans, but I think they're both playable. I'm going to pair them with the Eagles, who I think should be the second choice in the NFC, and I think should be your second, maybe third choice to win the Super Bowl. I bet some Eagles plus 950 to win the Super Bowl. Give me Eagles and Jaguars exact matchup. That is 35 to 1. And if you want Eagles over Jags, which I think the Eagles would be a fairly decent favorite if this plays out.
Yes, they will.
65 to 1. So Eagles over Jags 65 to 1, and Eagles Jags exact name the final is 35 to 1.
Juicy. Okay, so those that don't know, Mike is a Miami Hurricane fan, and
yes,
they're going to be playing tonight in Glendale, Arizona, against the nation's team, and that is Ole Miss. It is a lot of the hooks are gone. So we are Mississippi getting some love on game day. Miami of Florida at FanDuel. So I'll just use two public books as an example. Miami at FanDuel is 3.5. At DraftKings is 3. If you get one of the two, you should be able to get the other. So my point would be, if you like Miami, go to DraftKings, lay the 3. And if you like Mississippi, go to FanDuel, Mike, and take the 3.5.
I think you lay the 3 here with the Canes. I like the Miami defense specifically. It was interesting. ESPN wrote an article, 20 best players in the Final Four, the college football playoffs. 11 of those 20 will be on the field when the Miami defense takes on the Ole Miss offense. It's going to be a great matchup tonight, seeing those two units go against each other. Chambliss has been awesome. You can't really downplay how good he's been. But he hasn't faced anything like this Miami front four. And this is another defense that can rush the passer with 4, that can stay in passing lane or stay in rush lanes and not allow quarterbacks to be able to extend plays like we saw Chambliss be able to do against Georgia and be able to create havoc down the field. I think Miami's defense is able to stop the run. And that, to me, is the key here. If Lacy can get going on the ground, all of a sudden it's 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. If he can't and you're staring at 3rd and 8s and Miami can pin their ears back and come after Chambliss, I think Ole Miss gets in trouble. You flip it around to the other side, I think Miami has success running the football. Yeah. And I think Miami has success getting it to Tony and making some plays out there. So I think Miami has the edges on both the offensive and defensive side here. I'll take the Hurricanes minus the three, Patrick.
Yeah, it's funny with Miami because you've watched them plenty. They kind of want to lull you. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't hate the under. They want to run it with Fletcher. They're going to want to slow this down. The best player on the my estimation is Trinidad Chambliss. So they're going to want to keep the ball out of his hands. Obviously, the defense of the kids on defense for Miami are ridiculous. The trenches are awesome. I think you have to believe in that. As much as I hate to say it, I do also believe that Georgia, that was their Super Bowl. Ole Miss beating Georgia. It's if you've ever lived in the South, beating Georgia matters specifically to Ole Miss. Not saying they're not going to be up for the game. The problem is Mario Cristobal, obviously. But then again, we know nothing about the donk Golding, who does kind of seem like a donk.
He does seem a little donkey-ish. I will say I agree with you on the like the emotional aspect of this, because these are still college kids. The emotional aspect of this, Miami is in a better situational spot. They controlled the game against Ohio State start to finish. Yes, they won as a dog, just like Ole Miss did. But they controlled that game. It wasn't an emotional game. It was a game where they just took care of business. Ole Miss had to have an emotional comeback after all of the Lane Kiffin stuff, revenge, the only loss they had on their schedule. And now they have to go in with all of the turmoil surrounding them with who's going to be able to coach offensively, who won't, what's going on with everybody going to LSU, not going to LSU, all of that going on in the background. We also have to prepare for Miami here. I just think it's a better spot for Miami. And I think that you're going to see the fronts on the offensive and defensive side dominate this game for Miami, just like we've seen the last two games.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Oregon, Indiana. Indiana's 3.5. Some juice on the 3.5 at a couple shops. Pinnacle's saying 4. Oregon's going to be out with their best back. They've been dealing with injuries all year. I like Indiana. And it's almost like you're making fun of them by saying they're a robotic football team. That is not a pejorative. It's impossible to find. If they make a mistake, it's shocking. That's how good that's how well coached they are. I know the Cignetti shit is part of my language is getting out of control with the, but it is true. His team is so freaking crisp. Mm-hmm. And I expect them to win. We already saw it, and they pretty much dominated that game in Eugene.
Yeah, they took control of that game on the road. They were 7-point dogs in that game. That's my one hold up here. I'm not sure that we've seen these teams move 10 points, 10 and a half points, right? From the minus 7 to the plus 3.5. I don't have a bet in this game. If you told me I could have $1,000 from Patrick, throw it on whatever I want, it'd be Oregon plus 3.5 just because of the line shift here. But I respect the heck out of Indiana, and I have no interest in stepping in front of that truck with my own money right now. So I lean toward Oregon in this spot, but I'm not going to have a play in this game. I think it's going to be a fantastic football game. I like the under 48.5. If you want to go under there, I think that's a good look. Both of these teams are going to control the game on the ground. I think Oregon is a little disrespected from their defensive front. I think they're going to be able to slow down the Indiana run game. And I think Indiana is going to have success on defense as well. So if anything for me, side would be Oregon. I lean toward the under. I'm more likely to bet the under than I am Oregon.
I like the over 1.5. How many eyeballs actually fall out of the socket of Dan Lanning?
You think both are going down?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it does. I bet you know who I think are good friends? Your boy, Michael Irvin and Dan Lanning.
Wow. Wow. Just go in there. Shots fired at the Dano.
Hey, just go watch the game after they beat Penn State. Ooh. And check out some. I grew up with some kids. Okay, so I mentioned at the beginning, 6 or 7 every year you're going to have openings. It's not a surprise. Here are the jobs that are open. Baltimore, Atlanta, Tennessee, the Giants, Cleveland, Arizona, and the Raiders. It's easy to say the two best jobs. Obviously, the Giants have a ton of pieces. It's easy to say Baltimore because of the quarterback's an easy job, but it's not easy when you take the job and you're expected to win a Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference, expectations, right? The Giants is a quote-unquote rebuild, but the Giants have really good pieces. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson. What else are we really excited about on the Ravens?
And also, one thing about Jackson, I think this was a concession to him to get rid of Harbaugh, because he has a $74.5 million cap hit next year in 2027. That's untenable. That's 25% of your cap. He's either going to need to renegotiate, restructure, or extend so they can get a lot of that in signing bonus and spread out the cap a little bit. part of getting rid of Harbaugh. But this stuff about, oh, they did Harbaugh dirty. 18 years in one place in athletics is not doing somebody dirty. That is, that's a gift. It's good for Harbaugh, too. He gets to go pick a place that he wants to go coach.
You want my coaching hot take?
Sure.
Stefanski is better than Harbaugh if you're retreading.
Well, it's, I don't think it's crazy. And there, it is not a question. Stefanski or Harbaugh is going to be a Giant. It's just who does Harbaugh choose? And we think that he is going to wait around. I don't disagree with you for the Giants that Stefanski might be the better play.
Oh, across the board, Stefanski is the better play for anybody. Like, here's the thing with Harbaugh, the dirty secret. What side of the ball does he coach, Patrick?
No. That's why that's what I'm saying. I think he's perfect for Philadelphia because he can build a staff.
Yeah.
He's not a defensive mind. The last thing he did in Philly was
special teams coach.
I mean, he was with the defensive backs, but you understand. Yeah, I totally understand your point. He's just an adult in the room.
Yeah, but that's the last thing I want from a head. Well, I shouldn't say the last thing I want. It is low on the rankings tier if I'm hiring a head coach. You know why? If you do a good job hiring your offensive and defensive coordinators,
they go.
Congratulations. You got to do it again. You have to have 100% hit rate. He's a Dan Campbell, which, look, Dan Campbell's great.
How dare you?
He is. He's a Dan Campbell.
That's just mean.
Dan Campbell's great, but you take away his little friends, all of a sudden there's issues, right? Like, you take away the OC and the DC, and there are problems. And I don't love the stories coming out of Baltimore. He wasn't listening to his analytics department. I don't love the fact that he and Monken never talked about how to try and preserve multiple score leads in the fourth quarter. You don't ever run Derrick Henry late. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't be overly excited if my franchise hired Harbaugh. We'll just put it that way, which is something that I don't think a lot of people are willing to say.
It's just perception. Like, yeah. That's why the league, listen, these general managers, they're playing fantasy football. They're hitting 50-50 on the quarterbacks in the first round. They're drafting. They're going out and running after John Harbaugh because everybody's like, oh, you got to go get him. So then FOMO starts to pile up and you make a decision based on emotion. I don't disagree with what you're saying. Do you want to do this quickly as far as the other teams? I'll throw you a team and you just tell me what you're thinking. Atlanta. Atlanta's a pretty good spot because they have a lot of talent, not just Bijan and London. Defensively, they drafted well last year.
I think it is a roster-wise, it's a good job. Ownership-wise, not sure I'd want to work there, right? Like, that to me is the big gotcha in Atlanta with Blank and everything going on down there. But I do think it is a good job, especially if you believe in Penix. If someone goes in there and believes in Michael Penix Jr., I think you could really elevate that job because you've got Bijan, you've got these young pass rushing pieces, you've got London. Like, they're Pitts look good later in the year this year. And I always have felt that organization hasn't been well run from a head coaching perspective. It feels like that is a good spot for someone to land in. I still think it's the Giants job that I'm most interested in. That Atlanta one is not bad, though.
No. By the way, neither is Tennessee. They're getting a new stadium. I mean, the ownership's weird because the lady that runs the team lives in Houston. But they're getting a new stadium. And in my estimation, they have a quarterback and you don't have any pressure.
That to me is the most appealing part of the Tennessee job. It's Cam Ward and the lack of expectations. You get 2-3 years to try and rebuild the Titans. Like the Falcons, if you blow it, year one, you're done. Like that one could be one where it's a quick exit. But the Titans, you're going to get a couple years. I do think you have something in Cam Ward. I thought he played a lot better down the stretch.
Yeah.
One concern is the division. Like, I like the Falcons division more than I like the Titans division just because I do think that you've got a good coach in Jacksonville, a good coach in Indianapolis. You've got, like, it looks like Jacksonville's going to be good for a little bit. Looks like Houston's going to be good for a little bit. I think Ryan's is good, but not great from a coaching perspective. But you have at least that quarterback that you want. And you're also going to have some nice draft picks a couple years down the road as well.
Cleveland.
No.
I think Jim Schwartz is going to end up getting the job. The DC actually wasn't terrible when he was young with Detroit. I think he's going here. I don't want anything to do with Haslam, the owner. And frankly, I don't want anything to do with Myles Garrett.
Honestly, didn't Stefanski pop champagne when he was fired?
Probably.
Like, the most excited dude ever to get fired. Because like now he can go. He's going to be one of the top two candidates. Get to pick where he wants to end up. And you get to get rid of the mess that was Cleveland, where they didn't let him run his offense, where they went out and they got Deshaun Watson and saddled him with it. Where you have this, like, they're paying out Garrett, but don't have any other pieces really around on the offensive side. They didn't rebuild the offensive line. You don't have any weapons. I mean, if I'm Stefanski, I'm happy that I got to get out of there.
Yeah, and Garrett's just passive, and he'll But I want nothing to do with that player. I could care less about the sack record. Oh God, take it off my TV. There's two more.
Should we pause the podcast to celebrate the sack record? Just take a quick break.
Cincinnati was right. That was
a
joke.
They were hot.
That was a joke. Listen, and I mean this. If Arizona called me, I would say no to the job. This is the stupidest job. And I know there's going to be a young coordinator that feels like he needs, hey, you only get one shot at your first shot. Don't take this Arizona job. I'm encouraging you not to take it.
So you would take the Miami job over the Arizona job?
I would.
Okay. Yeah, look, the Arizona job's terrible. You have a terrible, like a overpaid quarterback. You've got a wide receiver you missed on that you took fourth overall. Your defense is a mess. Like Gannon was talking about how they had to go and get better trainers and a medical staff because he was partially blaming them for all the defensive injuries. Like, I don't know where to start if I took over the Cardinals. I
have
no idea.
Bad ownership. Bidwell's
a
terrible owner. It's just a mess.
That's not great.
I actually don't hate the Raiders job. And I'll give you a weird kind of corollary. Brady was terrible when he started broadcasting. And now he's pretty good. I think he's just a winner. I think he wants to grind. I think he's going to figure this ownership. And he is not the spy tech is not the general manager. He is not making any decisions. He is running everything by Tom Brady. You obviously have a few pieces. You only have 1 year left on Geno's contract and you can get rid of him. It's not going to cost you a fortune. I don't think the Raiders job is terrible. Mark Davis, an underrated owner, lets you be. It's a terrible city. Nobody cares in Vegas. I live there. It's horrible.
Okay, that's a little mean. I love Vegas, but no one cares about the Raiders in Vegas.
Go live there.
I would love to live there.
Why?
I like the food there. I like the entertainment there. I like being able to go out there, but it's not.
Like the fact that my coworkers are there. I don't want to say that very clearly. Shout to VEASAN. But other than that, you like subdivisions? Go live there.
That is true. That is true. The vibes are not that great in certain areas. I'll give you that.
But I don't hate the job is what I'm saying, Mike. I don't think it's a terrible job.
It is better than the Dolphins or the Cardinals for the simple reason that you don't have just a bunch of dead cap and a quarterback problem. You mentioned it, Geno Smith. Yeah, he's an issue. He's gone in after a year, so you don't have to deal with that for too long. I think expectations are relatively low. I do think this to me, the Raiders would be interesting if they go out and get what the rumor is, which is Flores as the head coach and Dable as your OC. That makes them interesting right out of the gate because I respect both of those minds. You've got an offensive and a defensive guy. I think that would be fun. We'll see if it actually comes to fruition. My problem with the Raiders' job is your division. The Chiefs are going to be better. The Denver has a very good defense. The Chargers are going to be good. It's hard to climb out of that fourth place hole that you are in that division.
Don't be surprised if they hire Davis Webb. He's only 30 years old. He's working with Peyton in Denver. But like we were talking about the FOMO with Harbaugh, it's a foregone conclusion that Webb, and we know him, he was a backup to Mahomes at Texas Tech. He played in the league. It's a foregone conclusion that he's going to get a job. Somebody might take a McVay shot on him. Remember, McVay was 30-31 when he got the job there with the Rams. Davis Webb. Now, the relationship that you're talking about with Brady and Flores does make sense, but I'm just putting Webb on the radar there as well.
The Rams OC is another hot one, but I can't remember the guy's name, but the McVay,
The young guy.
The McVay shot is their passing game coordinator, who's 30 years old. I can't remember his name, but he's already getting buzz around the head coaching side. Never had an OC position, never called plays, but a lot of people interested in him. I wish I could remember his name.
And then Chris Shula there with the Rams too, DC.
So you've got a lot of the McVay tree starting to grow.
Rightfully so. He's the best doing it. All right. Well, let's just do this. Let's end. Where do you think Harbaugh ends up?
Buffalo.
Yeah, I'd say Buffalo or Philly.
I think Philly is possible. I think it'd be hilarious if it's Pittsburgh. I don't think to me, if I'm Harbaugh, I'm really only going to the Giants or a first round playoff loser. I don't want to go to one of these jobs that we just talked about in Miami, in Arizona, in Las Vegas, in Cleveland. Maybe Atlanta is a little bit interesting to me, but I want to go where I have a quarterback, where I believe there is upside, where I have assets. And to me, that points to the Giants, who I think are the best job available currently. And then possibly, like, if you get that, possibly Atlanta. And then if Buffalo opens up, to me, that's the other one you look at.
Yeah, I think if you're taking the Giants job, the only thing is, like, first off, Mara is a great owner, but unfortunately, he's very sick right now. I think you have to say, all right, we're getting rid of this Shane Donk, the general manager, right? He stinks.
I don't know how he still has a job.
Have you ever seen videos of him?
Yeah, well, you would, like, him.
He's
on
incompetent.
What's the name of the show? Oh, man. Hard Knocks. Him on Hard Knocks. It's like literally the most ridiculous thing ever. You got Mara sitting there saying, this better not come back and bite me about Saquon. And the next year it comes back and bites him, somehow still has a job. His kid's telling him to draft Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I'd rather his kid run the organization.
He can't do it. It's just like, bro, you're not good at this. Like, I don't know who you have pictures of, but let's just move along.
You know, it's a brand new year. You better start educating yourself, become a smarter better. Daily best bets, VSiN hosts and guests, including Samo, real-time DraftKings and circuit betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video. You get everything. And you can get started today for just $9.99, or you can save 50% with the annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, let's end it with our best bets in pro. Go ahead, Mike.
I got three here that I like. I'm going to add a fourth that I'll throw in for spice as well. But we're going to kick it off here. Houston -3, favorite bet on the board. Love the Texans this week. I'll go team total under 18.5. Pittsburgh, kind of double up on that game. Like the Eagles -4.5 quite a bit as well. So those are the two games that I really want to key in on. Give me Herbert over that 229.5 passing yards as well. I think Herbert has a big day. And I do like the Bears-Jacksonville teaser as well. So there's five. There's five of my wildcard weekend bets. Why not?
That's a bone. Hey, you're in a good mood. It's the playoffs.
A little Houston
laying 3. New England laying the 3.5. And I'll take Chicago plus the 0.5.
Let's go.
And we'll be talking about it on Sunday night right here on Sharp Money.
Yes, sir.
VSiN at the track for Mike. If you like horse racing, it's the best on the planet. And Ready, Set, Bet, including the contest show on Saturday and Sunday with Mike Somich. You can find me Monday through Friday on SiriusXM's Mad Dog Sports Radio. It's called VSiN Live. Anything else?
No, man. I'm just looking forward to these 5 days. I am jacked, man. I get to start out with my Hurricanes. Trying to get our first national title
confidence
since 2000.
Level. 1 to 10 confidence with Miami winning this football game.
7.5.
It's pretty
seven
good.
And a half, eight. Like, I believe in this defense. I've been talking about the interior on both sides of the ball for months. And, like, you have those hiccups and you get frustrated because those are directly on the head coach. That's Cristobal just blowing it in games where you should not, right? You just hope that that's not the reason tonight. That is my biggest fear. Is Cristobal is a donk.
Throw it up. The U. Good luck to your Miami Hurricanes. Good luck to all of you. Like, subscribe, kiss your face. Thank you for listening to Sharp Money right here, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you Sunday.